spiritual lives, the adversary, the evil forces, they feel that they can take advantage of us. If we have an open door, that's an open invitation. And so if we keep the doors closed, then we don't have to worry about these evil influences, mindsets, spirits coming in. Very important in Bereshith in Genesis 4:7, when it came to Cain, this is what it said. It says how if you don't do well, sin crouches at the door and its desire is to rule at you, over you. And that's what it's like. It said it's at the door. So if the door stays closed, then it can't come in and rule us. The thing is, we have to keep the door to evil closed. And it says sin is progressive. One thing leads to another until we find ourselves in big trouble. For that reason, we must learn to close the doors and keep them closed before they develop into something harmful. So an area that we should examine closely, that we need to examine closely, is inherited weakness from our family lineage. All right? Now, this is something we're going to deal with this the best way possible with the spirit of Yah and wisdom, because we hear about generational curses and things like that. And I'm like this. I don't really believe in generational curses. I believe unless you're those family lineage that Yahuwah cursed from the beginning, you know, and put under the ban. Okay, there's your generational curse. But I think what is happening, what I really believe is happening or see happening, is that generational curses, they're really, it's generational behaviors and mindset. Because in a family, when you have a family, you have parents, you have husband, wife, they're married, they decide to have children. Now children, they're going to emulate behavior. So a lot of times when people are calling generational curses, it's not a generational curse, it's behavior. It's behavior you have learned from your living environment. What you lived in, the adults that were there, the older siblings that were there, you learned certain behavior. Now, when you came of age to be able to discern right from wrong or to make your own decisions, or you got of age where you were able to go away and go to school or leave home and work or do whatever, now you have to, a person has to make a decision, am I going to continue this behavior that I saw in my family that I was raised under and even that I emulated? Am I going to continue this behavior knowing that it's not good? It really doesn't suit me well. It doesn't make me feel well. When I act like this, the people around me, it doesn't make them feel good. It makes life hard for them. So that's a decision. That's behavior. That's a behavior. One time, this one lawyer, when I was working with this one lawyer, he said to me, I was talking about different things that were going on. He said, people try to claim this whole mental sickness and this mental illness and all these different things. He said, it's not that. And as these lawyers, they've seen this stuff over and over and over again. He said, it's just bad behavior. It's bad behavior. And that's what it is a lot of time. It's bad behavior. Anytime people can go and deal with the public and be polite and kind and work their job and do what's necessary, but then come home and act like a devil and raise all kind of mayhem. No, it's bad behavior, and you feel safe doing it at home because you don't feel there are any consequences that you will experience. You go out in the public, you go out on your job and you act that way. Oh, you know, there's the consequences. You could be fired from your job. You could be arrested or whatever. But many times people continue the bad behavior in the home because they feel there aren't any consequences, that the people there will accept it and be okay with it and won't do anything about it. So we got these. So when I'm talking about generational curses, let's look at generational behaviors. Now it says right here in Exodus 25, it says the first commandment, he goes into graven images because somehow idolatry plays a part in this. So the first commandment concerning graven image carries this warning. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yahuwah, your Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now, Mother, do you want to explain that scripture? Would you? It's Exodus 25. It says, you shall not bow down thyself to them. This is one of the commandments talking about graven images, nor serve them. For I, Yahuwah, your Elohim, and a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me.
I think, Sister Leslie, I'm looking at this, and I think that once people say, know your enemy, know yourself, once you make yourself an idol, that means you think you know more than Yahuwah, and you bow down to your own desires and try to disregard his word or his instruction, that behavior and what you're doing, you'll pass that down to your children because you have put yourself in the place of Elohim, and then your bad behavior is there in your home or wherever. And then when you pass that down and your children see that, and then they do the same thing, you know, you are causing this crookedness to be upon your children because you have idolized yourself and put your, have not subject your spirit and your will to the word of Elohim. I'm just sort of, I'll put it that way. You may have something a little bit better, but that's what I'm seeing.
Okay, now that's good. That's good. Sister Penn?
Find an example. When we, as we were coming up, our parents had superstitions.
Yeah.
And they put those superstitions on us as we were growing up. Mm-hmm. For instance, you know, walking under a ladder, the mm-hmm. black cat crossing your path, all that mm-hmm. superstitious stuff.
Right.
That was transferred to us.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's a good example.
Falls in that category.
Right. No, that's a good example. That is. Yeah, the things that we pass on, so like superstitions or, you know, and that's why we have to stay. That's why we have to stay in Yah's word. You know, that's why we have to be prayed up, stay connected with prayer, have a life of prayer and fasting, because that helps keeps us aligned. And then when, because when we're not, it's easy for things for us to go wherever we go sometimes, you know, and then we mm-hmm. have to understand that's affecting my children because they're seeing that. And then they're going to 9 times out of 10 emulate it and embrace it. And now it becomes a stronghold in their lives. So that's why we have to, you know, really be aware of ourselves. You know, they say, know yourself. We have to know ourselves. Now it says another open door is crisis. You know, people have, there are crises that we experience. It can be an emotional or physical crisis, which leaves doors open that we must go back and close so that the enemy will not continue to hassle us in that part of our lives. Mm-hmm. That is so true. We experience crises. And the things about crises, many times they bring about trauma. Mm-hmm. And when trauma comes, yeah. trauma is an open door for the adversary. Trauma is an open door for the adversary. That's why we have to always be alert and on aware of even when people are going through things. If people are facing a crisis, if they are facing a life and death situation, because the spirit of trauma is right there with it. And then we have to be able to intercede for that person and surround that person with prayer, fasting, and support, because we don't want that crisis or that trauma to now take them where other places where the adversary has moved in on them. So we have to understand the point of crisis, and always through a crisis being connected with Yahuwah. And also, like I said, like this, you said, part of the armor in Ephesians 6 is praying always with prayers, with all prayers and supplication for all the set apart ones. Mm-hmm. We have an obligation and a responsibility as servants of Yah to pray always for each other.
Right.
Especially right. when we yes. see someone going through a crisis. It is right. our responsibility. And we don't, and we see it, and we don't intercede for those people and pray for them, Yahuwah, he has something for us. He will rebuke us. He would say, in the day that, like they said, in the day of their trouble, you did not do. So we always want to make sure that we are, we're a family.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're doing our part and our responsibility towards each other.
Right.
So we have crisis. Another open door is ignorance. That's what you said. You just read in Tahalim 119, Yahuwah, teach me good sense.
Right.
When we are ignorant of things, when we are ignorant of things, it allows, it's an open door. Because when you don't know something about something or about someone and you embrace that, you welcome it into your life. Okay, here we go. there's the evil spirits, the adversaries right there with their back. They say, okay, we're ready to come take up residence. So no, we have to be aware. And when we don't know, we have to ask Yahuwah, Yahuwah, give me understanding, give me knowledge, open up my eyes to see what is there that I'm not seeing. The things that I need to see, let me see it. And then also, if we see something as like onlookers that is occurring or happening to our sisters or our brothers in the faith, we have an obligation to say something. We have an obligation to say, hey, I'm seeing this, or Yahuwah has shown me this. And sometimes Yahuwah may not show it, but you just know because you have lived life. You know what I'm saying? You have lived life. You have experience. So then you can tell someone, hey, I need to talk to you about this, and warn them, because it, sometimes people just don't see. Ignorance. And ignorance is not bliss. They say ignorance is bliss. It's not bliss. Sister Finn.
I have another example.
Okay.
Scamming.
What'd
yes.
you say? Say it again, sis. What did Sister Penn say? Say it again.
Scamming.
Oh, okay. Scamming. Yeah. Can't hear you.
Okay. Yes, I was just having little one go get something if it wasn't. No, scamming is a good thing. We don't know, and then we end up losing half of our retirement account, you know, or half of our savings or something. So we don't want to be ignorant of Hasatan's devices. Can someone talk on, put on the armor? Can someone go on that again while I...
All right, she had to step away. I stepped away earlier, so I'm not for sure where she left off. We'll be talking about putting on the armor.
Yeah.
I guess we all know what an armor is. She went over that at the beginning. And this is you can't really fight if you're not suited up. You know what I mean?
Right.
If you're not covered with all those things that she mentioned earlier, it's going to be very difficult to stand against the wiles of the enemy. We have to be suited up. Everything that she said, we know these things. We've gone over these things most of our religious life. You know what I mean? But it's just making sure that we have it on. And I like the part where she was talking about the praying before, you know, she went out praying. Prayer is one of the word. I mean, you need everything from the head to the feet shot with the good news. You need it all. But that prayer And that sword, which is the word, I'm telling you, you got to have it. You got to have it. And that shield, that belief, that trust, that confidence we have in Yah being our deliverer and granting us salvation, you got to have it all. You got to have it all. You can't. We're not going to make it with not armored up. We're not. We're not. We will be taken out by the enemy if we're not armored up.
That's right. Got it. Got to be armored up. Armored up. So put on the armor. We have to recognize our enemy. It says don't sit around feeling sorry for ourselves. And mm-hmm. we have to begin doing what we must do for ourselves if we are going to win this war. It yes. also says this. The promise of Elohim is here in James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to Elohim. Resist the adversary, and he will flee from you. And it's really that simple. We have to, number one, submit to Yahuwah. A lot of times people are losing the battle, and they're having the stronghold because, number one, they will not submit. They won't submit. They won't. They may give Yahuwah a little, okay, you can have this area, but I'm going to hang on to this area. Yahuwah wants total submission, our total being to be submitted to him. Even when we don't understand, even when it's hard, we just have to say, Father, I don't understand, but I'm going to submit. I'm going to yield to you. I don't know the way, but I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to do.
But see,
the moment when we think that, when people think that, oh, because I don't know, because I don't understand, I don't have to, or there's a resistance. Yahuwah said he doesn't deal with what the drawback spirit or resistance.
Right.
Those who resist his spirit, he does not deal with them. And so the thing is, we never want to resist the spirit of Elohim. We never want to resist the instruction of Yah when Yah is asking us to do something and we resist and say no, because then Yahuwah, you know what? He'll say no to us. And in the day of our affliction, in the day when we need him to bring deliverance for us, in the day we need him and asking him to bring healing to us, he'll say no, because when he was asking us to do for him and to submit to him and to yield and to do this or do that, we told him no. So he with every right, he can say no.
That's right.
Or he could just turn an ear and where I don't hear.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you get that from? James what, Leslie?
That's James 4:7. James 4:7. And see, the thing is, it's not that Yahuwah is like mankind doing tit for tat. No, Yahuwah deals, he operates based on the rules and laws of covenant relationship.
Right.
And that's the thing. And unfortunately, in our world, and I think a lot of it came through the RCC, they misrepresented covenant relationship. Mm-hmm. Covenant relationship for many of them was, I can do whatever I want and he loves me anyhow. That's not covenant relationship. Because in any covenant, there are always terms to the covenant. Mm-hmm. So if you violate the covenant, the other party is they're relieved from any responsibility. Mm-hmm. They are not obligated to perform in a certain way if you breach or violate the terms of the covenant. And so then that in Yahuwah, he operates on covenant law.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say this, I'll say this until I get you, Mother. And even though he operates on covenant law, and we know many times that as a people, we should have been cut off or done away with, but because he is loving and he is compassionate, he still extends the opportunity and sometimes wait for us to get it right. But he's not always going to wait. After a while, he's just going to say, no more. I've given plenty of time. I've given you plenty of time. I've given you plenty of opportunities, and you still said no, Mother.
And that's very good, Leslie. He said he would keep covenant with those who keep covenant with him. You brought it out earlier. And we can see in the history of Yasharal, when they broke the covenant, Yahuwah, he punished them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they cried out to him, but he only responded when they repented.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. When you repent and you turn, Yahuwah will... He will turn his face back to you and respond, you know, but they did not go unpunished.
Right.
They broke the covenant. They said at the Mount, all he said, we will do. And they did not do.
Right.
But he's compassionate. All he asked that we would repent and turn our face back to him. Right. And he will turn to us.
He will turn to us.
Right.
I love it over there. I think it's Isaiah, the first chapter, verse 13. It says, if you be willing and obedient.
Obedient.
I love that. I love that scripture because it's very clear. It says, if you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. But then the inverse of that, it says, but if you rebel, if you resist and rebel, he said, you will be devoured by the sword. And I think that that's beautiful because Yahuwah, now that's what I love about Yahuwah. He doesn't, when we seek him, he does not leave us in the dark. When we truly seek him, when we are truly, truly seeking his ways and to be pleasing and wanting to know what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be delivered? What must I do to have the good life? It's very clear. He doesn't complicate it. It's very simple. If you be willing and obedient, everything will be good for you. It'll be good. He will fight our battles. He will cover us. And then we would be so filled full with his spirit and word that we're able to act wisely, you know, and we're able to discern, like to act wisely, like wherever we go, we're not just, okay, tripping up here, made another mistake here. You know what I'm saying? No, we're so filled with his spirit and his word, then we can act wisely and we can discern in our footsteps. We'll be sure. And he will lead us on the plain path. Mm-hmm. All right. I don't know what time it is. Someone tell me. Yeah, I know. I feel like I'm past. I have a feeling that I'm past the time.
12:04.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Let me just say this. Okay. So we know we have to have, it says faith is the key. Aman. Aman is the key. Now, Aman, we're not talking about faith like in this, if you believe it, it is, or the faith that they say faith is, even though I can't see it, I know it's going to happen. Well, that's not faith. That's not faith. That is you really wishing and hoping. That is your hope. That's a hope that you have when you desire something. You don't see how it's going to happen, but you believe it's going to happen. Well, that's your hope. You have hope, but it's not biblical faith. Aman. Biblical faith is aman, and that means steadfastness. It means consistency. Steadfastness and consistency. And they always tell us, even in the natural world, be it school, be it business, whatever, that consistency is the key. Mm-hmm. Even when we have health goals, they say, just be consistent. Consistency is the key. And it's the same thing in our walk. Aman, faith, consistency is the key. Mm-hmm. So when we're consistent, we are constantly in the place of hearing the word of Yah. We can hear the word when we're consistent in our walk with Yahuwah, when we're not going to the left and to the right. And sometimes we're up, sometimes we're down. Sometimes we feel like serving him. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes that's not aman. That's not biblical faith. That's not steadfastness. That's not consistency. And it actually prevents the power of Yah from working in our lives and from manifesting in our lives. When we're not, when we're all over the place, he said about the lukewarm, you're hot, you're cold. He said, but because you, he can't deal with us. That's the thing. This overall, this as a high point, when we're unstable, when we're doubting, when we're just, Yahuwah just says, these are children that he said have no aman in me,
no faith.
They're not steadfast in what they know about me.
Right.
Because the thing is, there are things, we do know some things about Yahuwah.
Yes.
We do know things about Yahuwah's character. We do know certain things, but when we start acting like we don't know what we know about Yahuwah, it's highly offensive.
Yes.
It's highly offensive to Elohim.
Yes.
Mother.
Just one word to go with steadfastness is trustworthiness. Because
yes.
when you're steadfast, that aman means trustworthy. He can trust you. You know what I mean? Because you're steadfast and consistent.
Right.
And so that's where that trustworthiness comes in, that Yahuwah can look upon us and say, they're trustworthy. I can trust them. You know, they've proven themselves to be steadfast and consistent.
Right.
So that's part of aman too, trustworthiness.
Thank you. That's wonderful. Thank you for bringing that point out. Trustworthiness. And that's the thing, we want to have the testimony before Yahuwah that he can trust us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes people, you know, they get in their feelings and, you know, can get in their feelings, this human emotion, and just like, oh, I don't know if Yahuwah's going to do this. I don't know if he's going to do this. You know, and they don't know if they can trust if he will work in this way. But the bigger question is, can Yahuwah trust me?
Yes, yes.
Does Yahuwah trust me? Does he trust me to uphold his reputation? Does he trust me to do what he put me on this earth to do? Does he trust me to be a trustworthy servant to my brothers and sisters? Does he trust, am I trustworthy?
Mm-hmm.
That's the bigger question, because we know if Yahuwah finds us trustworthy and we have that testimony, we already know we can trust Yah. We already know that there is no good thing that Yahuwah will keep from me. He is not going to withhold my deliverance. He's not going to withhold my provision. He's not, because I've proven myself trustworthy and I know that he's trustworthy, and therefore I'm keeping covenant. So because I'm meeting the terms of the covenant, Yahuwah is going to keep covenant with me. It's already settled. It's done, because I'm keeping my part of the bargain.
Keeping
my part. And that's the thing. And when we keep our parts, that keeps us from strongholds.
Mm-hmm.
That keeps the strongholds away. Now, next week, we're going to tackle four of these things in each session, because it's divided up into 16 areas. So we're going to take four. So next week, we're going to be talking about these strongholds, because we have to, the people of Yah, be able to identify and discern what is happening in our own lives, and what is happening in the lives of the people around us.
Right.
We have to be, and that's not to point out something and say, oh, look at them. They got a stronghold. It's not even for that.
Mm-mm.
It's to know how to pray for people's deliverance. And also to know what condition either a household is in, or the condition that even an assembly is in.
Mm-hmm.
Because they say one rotten apple can spoil the bunch.
All right.
So if you got a person or two or three people up there and they fill with two or three different strongholds, or even just one major stronghold, guess what? That's going to affect everyone else around them. It's the law of nature. That's why we had, the scripture tells us to purify ourselves. We have to purge ourselves. We have to cleanse ourselves, not just for our benefit, but for the benefit of the people who live in the house with us, and for the benefit of the people that we worship with at the assembly.
All right.
So we're going to be looking at next week, spirit of divination, familiar spirit, spirit of jealousy, and lying spirit. Those four areas we're going to be looking at next week. So you all can do your work on this and come back. And I just know we're going to have some great discussion. Like I said, using this book as a base, and I'm going to send the notes out by Wednesday. By Wednesday evening, you'll have the notes for this section for our discussion on Monday. If you don't have the book, and if you choose not to purchase the book, spirit of divination, familiar spirit, spirit of jealousy, and lying spirit. Because we want to close the door on any stronghold that may be lurking. We want to eliminate and free ourselves from any strongholds that we may have. We want to shut the door to the adversary, because we are living in perilous times. We are living in turbulent times, and things are being manifested even the more so in the spirit realm, just in the world.
Yes.
And we have to be girded up, clean and pure. Like they said, he is coming for a people that have made themselves ready. And he said, without spot or wrinkle. So that's why we're doing this, because we don't want a spot or wrinkle. It said she was arrayed, clean robes, white linen, and we want to be ready and found worthy to enter in the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
So we will end this. We are so grateful for everyone today, and grateful for Elohim and what he has done. And we're going to enter into our closing prayer.